So let's turn together in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to read from the first verse through to the ninth verse. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. So our study of the book of Revelation brings us now to this 9th and 10th and 11th verses. But this morning I've decided just to touch on this ninth verse, because that's all I can deal with. Will you remember, please, that the scroll is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the only one who is worthy to take it. No one else in the whole universe could be found who would be worthy to open it. It means he's the only one who can realize the contents in the scroll. In other words, he's the only one who can realize and fulfill the purposes of God. And so, seal by seal, we see them broken, and we gain insight into what is happening in our world. We realize that the things that are happening in our world are not happening at random. Of course, remember, John sees by symbolic vision, and he had seen these horses driving forth, told, commanded to come and do their work. First the white one, then the red one, the black one, and then the pale horse. And they go forth into all the earth and they do their work. They're driven. They're not driving at random, but they're driven to fulfill all of God's purposes. And of course, they have been riding forth and doing their work from that day until this. And they will go on doing their work until the end comes. That's the idea. The seals are broken, and before us is revealed the plans and purposes, the doings of Almighty God. Now, we come to this fifth seal, and John sees something completely different. Before, he had seen the horses, which were engaged with events on the earth. Now, he sees something else. He sees things in heaven. And we read that he sees souls. I'm not going to touch on it this morning. The question of souls. But I will do next Sunday. So if it's that you're really interested in, then come next Sunday morning. But in his vision, he is allowed to see those souls, those persons, those lives who have been martyred. The NIV puts it like this. They had been slain, and they had been slain, obviously, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their commitment to him. Now, it's helpful, I think, for all of us to be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ had told all of his followers, and we should be reminded of this morning, he had told his followers that there was a cost to sticking with him. Do you realize that there is a cost to sticking with Jesus Christ? In fact, the truth is you all know it already. And that's the big factor. That's the real issue for most people. Small persecution or large, almost everyone knows that there's a cost to sticking with Jesus. Listen to his words in Matthew 24. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. If ever the Lord wanted to remove followers from him, that would certainly have done it. But no, they went on to follow him. In John 16, he says this. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Already, in this book of Revelation, we have read how the Lord spoke to the churches and spoke to them of the hour of trial. When he praised the church at Pergamum, listen to his words. He said, "Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city." And we know of Stephen, who we read about this morning, and his death, his martyrdom, for his faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, we read of a persecution. In fact, the NIV says a great persecution which came upon the church. And for its most part, it looks as though it was led by Saul, who was later to be the Apostle Paul. And they were dragging off men and women. Look, let's personalize it, friends. Just like you and me this morning. They were dragging them off from their homes and imprisoning them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The breaking of the fifth seal acknowledges and brings before John's eyes, and therefore before our eyes, the truth of those who have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. And in our pleasant days, we may think that all of this is of no great relevance to the church. But I want to preach this morning and to assure all of you that it is of the greatest importance. And so I lay not too fine a point upon this, but to stress to each and every one of us. We need to hear this message this morning for ourselves and for the future of the church. Now, the first thing that I notice, and it is, I think, a very helpful observation if you look at the text, we should mark this. We see that they were slain because of what? The word of God. There it is. It is so clear. These were the souls who had been slain because of the word of God. Moffat, in his very little helpful New Testament, says this. He says they were slain for adhering to God's word. To adhere, friends, to adhere is to stick fast.
They were slain for sticking fast to the word of God. You can't get away from it. It's here staring us in the text. And in this sense, it is to stick fast by giving an absolute allegiance. If you'd have met these Christians, they were glued, they were fixed. They didn't have a New Testament complete, but they had the Scriptures, the Word of God, and in it they had traced the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Stephen was saying in the 7th of the book of Acts. He was telling them, can't you see? Can't you understand? All of this is in the Scriptures. And they stoned him to death for it. And do you know, they were so absolutely committed, these Christians, you couldn't unglue them. You couldn't unstick them from their adherence to the Word of God. I can't help but put this emphasis upon it. They were not slain for their adherence to the church. They were not slain for their adherence to a confession. They were not slain for their adherence to the minister of the church. The overwhelming truth is that it tells us that they were Christ-centered. They had traced him in the Scriptures. And they were put to death for their adherence to the Word of God. You know, when Jeremiah had the Word of God brought to him, he said it burned like a fire in his breast. He just couldn't keep it in. He just had to tell people. And if you want to read what happened to Jeremiah, just check out the 38th chapter. See what happens to a man who is totally committed to what God says to him, and then he conveys it to others. He was thrown in a hole in the ground, in a cistern that was empty of water but full of mud, and he was left there to die. Friends, wasn't Jeremiah they hated? Oh no. It looks as though it's Jeremiah that they hated, but at the heart of it, the thing that really stuck in their throats is that they hated the word of God which Jeremiah brought to them. Now, here at Trinity Evangelical Church over the years, some people have said a few nice things here and there. We've been here for 26 years and one or two nice things have been said about us, and I'm really grateful for those. But there have been some very nasty and unpleasant things also that have been said. That odious, that awful fellow, Andrew Hemingway. I can take it. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. But you know, it's not me. It's the Word of God. At the bottom of it all the hatred that was pent up in those people, as you read Acts chapter 7. I could have read it to you, I didn't. But it says this. The Old Authorized Version says, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were so filled with rage and bitterness. It wasn't really against Stephen. It was about what he was saying. It was as he revealed the word of God. They hated him so deeply because of what he told them that the word of God had said. I keep saying it's the Scriptures that matter. These who we are reading about in Revelation chapter 6, they died because of their adherence to the Word of God. Friends, ministers come and go. Churches come and go. But the Word of the Lord abideth ever. It can never ever be extinguished. It can never ever pass away. And so I urge the young people, get committed, get glued, get stuck to the Word of God. If you don't do anything else, do that. And if it loses you, friends, then let them go. But get glued. Get stuck to the Bible, to the truth of it.
And you know, if you're tenuously attached to the Bible, you'll know it. If you're tenuously attracted to the things of the Scriptures, well, you know it. I'm encouraging you this morning to get fixed. Some of you won't know this, I'll tell it you, you might have never heard it before. But as Martin Luther, that great reformer, stood before those enemies of the truth of the gospel, these are the words that he spoke, which should never ever be forgotten. My conscience, here it is bound by the word of God, fixed and glued. So bound is how we ought to be. So glued, so connected is the way each and every one of us ought to be. And then perhaps we shall be able to say to the next generation, we did our little part to preserve the truth for the Church of Jesus Christ. And if persecution in some shape or form should come against us, then we will trust the Lord for his grace for that trial. Now, it must be very clear, it should be clear, that in periods of the church in its history, there have been very, very deep and dreadful and terrible persecutions brought against God's people. They were men and women just like you and children. It helps that, doesn't it? Think of yourself, your marriage, the people you love, your children, your family. I just want to tell you something about those who have gone on in the footsteps of the martyrs. I feel it's my duty to do this every so often. The church seems to be largely ignorant of these things. How it could be, I'll never know. But it is. So I want you to know that during periods of the church history, the Lord's people have suffered very greatly. And they have been slain for their faith. We know that the early church suffered in the theatres and the arenas of the Roman Empire. Listen to this. Today you can go to the Colosseum in Rome and you can have a guide who will take you round. I went there in the 70s as a young student. Our friend John Singleton was there just last weekend. There he was in the Colosseum. But you could go in medieval times. And you could have someone to take you round. Sort of 15th century Thomas Cook. And he would take you round and he would give you a tour of the Colosseum. This is famously what was once said. Do you want relics? Do you want relics? Do you want martyr relics? Then take up the dust of the Colosseum. It is all the martyrs. The Christians of those times were used for sport. They were fed to the wild beasts, to the lions. They were made to suffer the most sadistic torture. What a time for the Church of Jesus Christ. How many Christians know so little about this? And what of the persecutions that brought about martyrdoms in the Middle Ages? What about the bloody reign of Mary Queen of Scots and the 300 or so souls who were burned to death, husbands and wives and their children, all because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I've tried to get some of you in the past to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you don't know about it and you want to talk to me about it later, then have a chat with me. We've got a copy. I'm sure we can pass one on. You don't have to read it cover to cover. It's not like that. But it would do all of us good to just go back and look at John Fox's book and see what great cost has been borne by the Lord's people in the past. Now it seems that at other times the church has been left in peace. And yet even today, although we probably think the world is largely at peace,
We have only just heard some years ago of missionaries who have been murdered, who have been captured and thrown in prison and murdered in Muslim lands for their faith in Jesus Christ. All because they disseminated literature and Bibles. Do you see, friends? It's because they were adhering to the word of God. Many of these people, just like you this morning, went out to these countries to bring the word of God for the sake of those who did not know the gospel. And if you think, just for a moment, it's possible this is how you think. If you think it's all up, and it's all finished, and the nations are all going to live at peace with each other, well, you look at the passage. You look at the 11th verse. Not the martyrdoms are not finished. Oh no. The end cannot come until all the number is completed. The verse says that there is still enough persecution left to bring about the death of those who follow Jesus Christ. People will still be martyred for their faith in the Saviour. There's someone somewhere today, a young man, a young woman, readying themselves to go to the mission field in some part of the world where it's still possible that they will lose their lives for Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is that we must still expect to see further hatred and persecution. People will still go on being killed for their faith until the Lord returns. Now, there's an obvious application at this point which can be made. What price do you put on your faith? What price do we put on our faith? How much do we value it? That's a question. If we could expect the world to suffer persecution against us in a serious and significant way, how faithful would the church be to Jesus Christ? How many would uphold his name? How many would come to church on Sunday? We own the name of the Lord very forcefully and very boldly, don't we, in our times. We must ask ourselves, would we hold it boldly if our faith were so tested like John Bunyan? Go on preaching the gospel like you do and you will end up in prison, which he did in chains for endless years, separate from his loved ones. In the past, faith in Christ was so dear that men were willing to lose their lives and the lives of their families for their faith in Jesus Christ. Women equally were willing to give up their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ. And it's almost too easy to sing the hymn by Luther, so I've not had it in my list this morning for us to sing it. I'm going to read it to you. It's almost too easy for us to sing it. God's word, for all their craft and force, one moment will not linger. But spite of hell shall have its course, 'tis written by his finger. And though they take our life, goods, honour, children, wife, yet is their profit small, these things shall vanish all. The city of God remaineth. They pledged their all, these people, to their faith in the Saviour. And I think as we consider these words and these thoughts this morning, we realise what great Christians there have been who have gone before us and laid the foundation for the church which exists today. And I'm sorry to say that all too often, even true Christians have no realization at all of what has been done
to lay the foundation of the church, which we have here in this little place in Skelmanthorpe today. Well, they had died for their adherence to the Word of God. But there's something else very important, and I must draw it to your attention. Look at the 9th verse. When he opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the Word of God and the testimony they had maintained. So it was not only their adherence to the Word of God alone, but also because of the testimony they had maintained. You see, you could find someone who says, well, I'm adhering to the Word of God. I'm glued to it. Yes, but I've got no testimony. I've got nothing to tell. I've got nothing to show. Now, this text makes sure that no one can hide behind the idea that they would just be glued and fixed to their belief in the Bible. Oh, no. No, the text says, also because of the testimony which they had maintained. It's like this, friends. They were glued to the Word of God, and then they didn't hide their light under a bushel. That's how the AV puts it. They didn't hide their light under a bowl. They stuck it on a lamp and they made it glow and they made it so that it would shine so that everyone would see it. It was so that this being glued to the Word of God did now work out of their hearts and it expressed itself. Just listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ before he ascended to heaven. Acts chapter 1 and the 8th verse. He said this to his disciples, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You will be witnesses to me. Do you realize, friends, that the world knows about the saving love of Jesus because of the witnessing, testifying faith of men and women just such as we are. The faith of the gospel that has been passed down through the ages has come not just because men and women were glued and adhered and fixed to the Word of God, but because they testified to the truth of it. Our highest goal must be in this church the glory of God. Our highest goal must be to be a testifying, witnessing family to the glory of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Without that, we will quickly die. Unless the church is a witnessing, testifying family of believers, the church will die. Now, it's not too much for me to say to you that if you are a student of the Word of God and you value every word, because every word is inspired, I read here this. It's that the testimony they had maintained. It tells me that they weren't bright and lively Christians for a few days. Not for a few months. Or even for a few years, but that they had maintained their witness. They had maintained their testimony. What do you think it is to maintain? It's to support it. It's to nourish it. It's to preserve it. It's to keep it in good repair. They had maintained their witness and testimony for Jesus Christ. Now most of you, not all of you, but most of you will have been to my home where I live. We've got dozens and dozens of windows. Seems as though I've got more of them the more I look at it. And if I turn my back on it just for a minute, it seems, The water's got in between the rebate of the glass and started to rot the windows out. And so the only way I can keep on top of it is if I maintain it. I have to preserve it. I have to support it. I have to nourish it. I have to keep it in good repair. It means that for it to have longevity, I've got to be vigilant. I've got to go and scrutinize it. I've got to constantly check it. That's the idea, friends. They maintained their faith. Are you maintaining your testimony? Are you maintaining your witness? If I say for 1 year I won't bother painting it, it's peeling a bit, but I won't bother painting it this year. You watch the trouble that we will have the year after. These believers, these souls, they were dead. But they were alive and with the Lord, and I'll touch on it more next week. What I'm saying is they weren't flash in the pan Christians. They had done their part. They had maintained their faith. They had done everything to make sure that it was looked after. To their dying breath, to their dying breath, because they had died for their faith, they had maintained it. Just listen very carefully. This is really important. They had maintained it. I may call on friends to help me with a task that I have on the windows at the house. But by and large, it is my responsibility. I have the duty. I must do the work. And so with you, you've got the church. You have the ministries of the church. You've got the life of the church. You've got the fellowship of the church. You've got the teaching of the church. You've got a Bible. But you and you alone have your duty to maintain your testimony. If it flags, if it goes down the drain, it's down to you. You did not maintain it. You can't blame someone else. And so I'm urging everyone to total commitment in the Christian faith. I'm coming to the end. Look at the past church, the previous church. Put on courage. Stand up like a man. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Look back at the church previous. It's because of them that we're here today. And ask yourself this question. Would the church be here today if it had a if it did lay with me 500 years ago, if the future of the church did lay with me, would there be a church still in this land today? We need to be exercised to holy boldness and to vigor and to strength because of their holy boldness and because of their strength and because of their courage. Thanks be to God. There is a true church of faith in this land today. Have you ever thought that at a human level we have this church today because of the martyrs of old? Now in 1986, when this church was first constituted, the very first piece of paper that was ever printed and the very first piece of print that ever appeared on it said this. It was a quote from Tertullian, and it simply says this, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. We chose it for this reason, that we believed that we were only here today because others had given their lives for the sake of the gospel. The souls under the altar, as seen by the Apostle John, as the fifth seal is broken, is the picture of those who were men and women just like we are, who had given their lives because of their deepest love and commitment for Jesus Christ. Are you adhered? Are you adhered to the Word of God? Are you maintaining your testimony? You may go away from here and you may say, Andrew was a little bit over the top this morning. I don't think so. If you don't get glued and you don't maintain your testimony, this is not me acting as a prophet. There will probably barely be any church in this land in 50 years' time. Get glued. Get fixed. Get adhered to the Word of God and stand up for it. I'm not a prophet, as I've already said. I can't tell you what will come against you. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. The Lord does. They didn't. They knew that persecution would come in some measure, but how could they know exactly what would come? They walked with the Lord and they put their faith in Him. So also for us, we need to do the same thing. If you haven't got a testimony, ask yourself why. Let's take this as a warning. It's a warning to ask and put before all of us, have we got total commitment? Total commitment. I know that I am here today and the evangelical gospel is being proclaimed in this land because of the Southwark martyrs. I know I'm here today because of the life of Latimer and Ridley and Bradford and others who died at the place of the cross in Oxford, where you can go and stand there today. I know that I'm here today because of the martyrs who are mentioned here in the book of Revelation. What duty, what responsibility we have for the future of the church of Jesus Christ. Let's be so totally committed to our Christianity. Let's be so devoted to it that come what may, we won't let the Lord down, and by His grace we'll exalt the Saviour. Well, may this message reinvigorate us. May it encourage us. May it enliven us and make us ready once more for the fight that lies ahead of us. Next week I'll speak about the souls. I'll speak about the meaning of these words under the altar and so on and so forth. I couldn't just let this morning pass by without using this time for this message, and I hope you will have all felt that it's been a blessing and a help to you. Amen. Let's sing the final hymn, number 460 in the Red Hymn Book. 460, we're going to stand to sing. My side, no.
my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my Master and my friend. Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant my own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end. And then in heaven receive me, my Savior and my friend.
Loving Heavenly Father, we ask you that you would go before us in our day, in our generation, and make the Church of Jesus Christ to be so committed to you, so that it shines forth, so that its light is not hidden, and that it might show forth its connection, Lord, complete with the Saviour, with the one who died for it. We ask you that we might be a bright shining light in a dark world. Lord, go before us and help us in our generation, we pray, so that the next one might have something, Lord, to build upon. Be gracious in this poor land of ours, where the gospel is largely unheard. We pray, Lord, that you might still have mercy upon it, and that the churches might rise to the need of the hour to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be fixed upon your word, and to be a testimony to the Saviour. Lord, into your hands we commit our lives with thankfulness and praise. Go on with us and bless us, we ask you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.